Shalom Chaverim. Baruch haba lachol mekshavim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, in our initial exploratory journeyings together through the rich and fertile spiritual fields of our sacred scriptures, we have gathered treasures indeed from Bereshit and from Shmot, books known in English as Genesis and Exodus. It is now our happy prospect to enter the third domain, that book of Moses known to English readers as Leviticus, a word having its origin in the name of the priestly tribe of Levi, and consequently correctly suggesting to our minds the priestly function and ritual associated with the people of Israel. To us Jewish people, the book is known as Vayikra, derived from the opening Hebrew words of the book itself, thus providing not only a title for this third volume of Moses, but also a precious clue to its contents, for Vayikra means, "And he called." The pages of Vayikra vibrate with the energy of God's call to his people, and bear in them a loving invitation to his fellowship. The Eternal, blessed be he, strongly desires worship from and communion with his people Israel and all mankind in general. Leviticus is one of the richest and most enlightening books in the whole divine library. Indeed, its wealth is immeasurable, and, let me say it, its enlightenment is so intense as to be positively painful. Nevertheless, although a book primarily of ritual and not history, that ritual, even though local and temporary, is typical and doctrinal and of such a character that its values are permanent and universal, and neglect of its wholesome lessons can only leave us poor indeed. But remember, we do not yet penetrate into the detail of Leviticus. Our method, you will recall, is first the total view and afterwards the detail. In later adventures together, we will retrace our steps over all the books of Scripture and explore them more exhaustively. However, at present, first the whole forest, afterwards the individual trees therein. This total view method gives us the advantage of probing immediately to the very heart of the divine revelation. Before we unearth treasures from this portion of Tanakh, I do wish all my gracious listeners were in possession of a little chart I have compiled, and which shows at a glance, in diagram form, the content, sequence, and center of this superb book. May I suggest that you write me for a copy of this small chart on Vayikra, that is, Leviticus, so that your eye can be upon it as we adventure together into the rich pages of this third book of Moses. There will be no charge for this small chart, which, by the way, is copyright, but we would be deeply grateful if you would prepay the trivial postage on it. One of the wonders of our sacred Jewish Bible is the continuity of its story and the progressive development of its spiritual instruction. That is what makes intelligent Bible reading so fascinating and presents us with the initial interesting experiment of discovering the relationship which this third book of Torah bears to the other two which preceded it. Observe how Leviticus commences its divine message to us. Vayikra el Moshe v'yedabea Adonai elav me'ohel moed le'mor. And the Eternal called unto Moses, and spoke unto him out of the tent of meeting, saying. That's how the book opens. And in doing so, it links itself to the book of Exodus, which in turn is linked on to the book of Genesis. Without Exodus, we would be at a loss to know who Moses was. nor would we know to what applied the expression, the tent of meeting. Our knowledge of the book of Exodus, however, reveals not only Moses to us, but also the tabernacle in the wilderness, out of which the eternal God spoke his oracles to Israel. You will remember that we found the key message of Genesis summed up by the word election. In that first book, we see God engaged in a process of selection, issuing in the election of Israel to be the divine channel of his bounteous revelation to mankind. But Israel's circumstances were such as to require drastic action on God's part before the divine purpose could be initiated. Therefore, the key message and action of the second book, Exodus, is redemption. The shed blood of the Passover lamb enables the righteous God of the universe to reach down into the dungeon of Israel's depravity, despair, and dependence, and to deliver him out of Pharaoh's dominating domain with such a demonstration of divine power that it rocked Egypt from end to end and left its impression indelibly upon the national consciousness of the Jewish people to this day. What then should we expect to be the key message of Leviticus, this third book in the divine revelation? Why, even a mere fairy story can supply a clue. When the prince selected and elected Cinderella to be his bride, and then delivered her from the tyranny and unkindness of her environment into the wealth and opulence of his palace, with what motive and objective were these beneficent actions performed? Of course, love was the motive, and communion the objective. We observe this same logical spiritual sequence in the unbroken thread of divine love, which motivated God's selection of that Cinderella of the human family, the people of Israel, and which issued in Israel's election, then Israel's redemption, and was to be immediately followed by his gracious call to communion. Election, redemption, communion. That's the sweet sequence of the first three books of Moses. Communion, then, will be found to be the key message of Vayikra, Leviticus, and he called. God calling. Why does God call to man? Oh, my beloved friends, and particularly those of us in whose veins flows the blood of that nation who, as a nation, first received that blessed call, please let us snatch one tranquil moment from time's wild, fretful torrent of today to meditate upon the wonder and delight of this alluring revelation. God calling man into peaceful, rapturous communion with himself. Here is health and healing for the haunting heart of the human heart. Here is perfect tranquility for the lonely longing of man's soul. God himself, and God only, is man's true home and happiness. Edwin Arnold, you will remember, has expressed beautifully the bliss and blessedness of the highest human love in mutual reciprocation, in words moving and satisfying. Let me quote them to you. Somewhere there waiteth in this world of ours, for one lone soul, another lonely soul, each choosing each through all the weary hours, and meeting strangely at one sudden goal. Then blend they, like green leaves with golden flowers, into one beautiful and perfect whole, and life's long night is ended, and the way lies open onward to eternal day. My friends, these are beautiful words, portraying a very satisfying concept. Yet I venture to affirm that even here there still remains a hunger. Even the satisfaction of a worthily placed and warmly reciprocated mutual human love is unable fully to call an end to life's long night. Truly, the treacherous traces of that tedious night still linger, even in a consummation so devoutly to be desired as that depicted by the poet, and that residual restlessness, that lurking longing, has been surely identified by the psalmist in words that find their echo in every mediating human heart and every meditating human heart, when in Psalm number 42 he cries, "As the hind panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." The persistent appetence for God that will find no appeasement but in and with him is surely God implanted, and if God implanted, is divinely intended to find its saving satisfaction in the blessed being himself, who first wove its restless rhythm into every human heart. Leviticus shows God himself to be the human heart's sweet brook of living water, and God himself the great protector from all perils whilst we drink of him to the eternal quenching of the soul's great thirst. Grant me your company as we unearth together these sweet treasures in succeeding messages in this precious book of the Jewish Bible. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nov elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nov elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.